Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
So there is the possibility of an aid package for Ukraine from the House having nothing to do with the border and border funding not happening. Damn, these people make me angry. Tony Katz today. 833-468-8669. 833-GOT-TONY. That's the number. That's how you get to be a part of the show. The Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, telling Republican senators that they should be expecting something. They should be expecting some legislation that will help Ukraine. Now, this is not the $95 billion deal that the Senate passed. That's not what they're talking about here. That deal is about money for Ukraine, money for Israel, money for Taiwan. This, what they're discussing, is a bit different. What they're saying is that we're willing to get them some money, which would really be about ammunition being made here in the United States and sent over, and our own stockpiles being increased. But instead of just, here you go, how about a loan or a possible lend-lease program? That way the taxpayer isn't putting out these billions of dollars without an expectation of return. I have no idea how the political left is going to take this. I have no idea if they're going to be willing to vote for that or not. And this may all be window dressing, because I'd have to ask the question, at what point could the president or somebody else say, don't worry about it. It just gets erased in some other piece of legislation, you know, some other change coming forward. That's the question. I am curious about that. I don't like what I'm seeing here, because I want the border handled first. You have heard me. And we may disagree on this. I believe in supporting Ukraine because I believe in pushing back Russia. I don't want Russia on the border of NATO. And I don't want Putin getting any opportunities to his expansionist ideas. Tucker Carlson is wrong. Of course, Vladimir Putin has expansionist ideas. He has only just said so throughout a career. Even if his expansionist ideas are to the idea of everything belongs to Russia. Does he or does he not remake history, if you will, to say, well, Ukraine really belongs to Russia? And does he or does he not remake history to say, well, Poland actually has Russian roots? Ergo, I feel very confident in my conversation about expansionist ideas. And I think that should be thwarted. I think we should push back on that. I think we should make that stop before it really gets started. So I support letting Ukraine do that. After all, they're the ones who are invaded. Not having any U.S. troops on the ground, but give them bullets and give them tanks. And by the way, I don't know if you heard earlier this week, Major Mike Lyons, retired United States Army, was on the show, and he was talking about Abrams tanks being destroyed. And when he's like, when did you ever expect to see that? And yes, there are stories. Forbes, for example, here's how the Russians are taking out Ukraine's M1 Abrams tanks. What in the world? Now, these are a target, of course, for the Russians, because they know these things are capable of doing a great damage. Russian anti-tank guided missiles seem to be destroying the M1s. Now, there are ways to take out tanks, and there are systems. The point being, the Russians on this subject are seeing some level of effect. The only way to keep the Russians at bay is to keep the Ukrainians in bullets to shoot at those Russians. The Russians will counter by throwing more bodies at the issue. This is why I have said, as much as I don't like it, Ukraine has to accept the idea that there's going to be some giving up of land. I don't want it. I want Russia to stop. But I'm looking at the whole board, and I don't know how one, I don't know how one makes this stop. It isn't the F-35s. This is an unrelated story, but I thought it was amazing. The F-35 is certified now for nuclear strike. It's an incredible piece of hardware. It is certified, as reported, to carry the B-61 thermonuclear bomb. So, you know, you got that opportunity. It is the belief, reported by the War Zone, that this is going to seriously increase NATO's nuclear defense posture in Europe and give Russia something to think about. You think you're the only ones who can deliver quickly and with accuracy? You may want to talk about hypersonics from now until the end of time, but we can get in the air pretty quick and pew, 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 done. This all gets super creepy, right? Like how easily we can talk about this war scenario. We shouldn't easily talk about this war scenario. You're right about that. We should be bothered by this war scenario. I think one of the best ways to counter this war scenario is by saying, give Ukraine the ability to fight them and keep them from engaging in any other types of war scenarios. One man's theory. But the idea that the aid to Ukraine might happen before we secure the southern border, this is the infuriating part. I don't know how you could ask me or I could ask you to favor that. The southern border, enough fentanyl to kill 270 million Americans, and we still haven't finished a border fence? Remember, it's not a wall, it's a fence, because that's what the Border Patrol wants. We still haven't finished it. We're not putting the technology in, the sensors, to see what's going on. There was reporting that a general has noted and was speaking, I think, to a congressional panel, that the amount of drone encounters is approximately, I should say it's a give or take, 1,000 a month. That's right. Drone encounters. The cartels send drones over the border to see where Border Patrol's at, to see what spaces are available, to see what's what. 1,000 a month. These are not a couple of banditos with a Toyota pickup truck. This is a well-financed, well-produced operation. And they have learned that the human smuggling is where it's at. I think that many Americans are finally starting to understand that what is happening at the southern border is indeed a war and is indeed an invasion. From all sorts of places. The amount of people who have reached out to me, worried about what's going on in Haiti, which is a cluster of the largest proportion, and worried about Haitian immigrants coming across the border, which I can appreciate. It certainly can be an issue. People like Governor Ron DeSantis have been very, very aggressive on this subject, and he has been speaking out.
The other second bill is Senate Bill 1036, enhances penalties for a crime committed by an individual who returns to the country illegally after deportation. And what you find in some of these really significant incidents where people are getting raped or murdered is it's not only an illegal alien, but it's somebody that had already been deported from this country and then comes back to commit crimes again. So in the state of Florida, if you have been deported and you come to this state and enter our state and you're here illegally and you commit crimes, we are throwing the book at you. And you are going to regret coming to the state of Florida. So I'm happy to sign that into law.
Governor DeSantis is not wrong. He has a job to do in protecting the state. The nation has a job to do in protecting the nation. Article 4, Section 4. Not only are we guaranteed a republic form of government, but the government is to protect the nation from invasion. People are worried regarding Haiti that they've just, you know, these gangs opened up the prisons and said, all right, get out, go to America. And other nations are saying, all right, open up the prisons, send them to America. That's the way to handle it. They're just accepting anybody. Let's get rid of our worst problems and let America deal with it. There's a serious concern here, and it's not some racist, bigoted thing. It is a worthy consideration because we know these other nations are duplicitous. We know that they want to do us harm. We know they want to damage us. We are fully aware. So, why aren't we doing something about it? So the idea that we are going to take care of Ukraine, which I believe in doing, but not handle what is needed in the United States for our own safety and security and protection, I have got nothing but frustration. Nothing but frustration. It drives me nuts. Meanwhile, I expect if they move Ukraine legislation down the road, that it will pass quickly. And our country will still be left wanting. I'm Tony Katz. This is Tony Katz Today.
I mean, it's so interesting because she gets so much anger towards her, so much, so much press that's very kind of pejorative and a little bit mean and I think quite racist. And here she is out there. She has, you know, yesterday she did this historic thing where she went to a Planned Parenthood in Minnesota. It's the first time a president or vice president has ever gone to an abortion clinic, but it's also STI treatment. It's cancer screening.
Molly Jong Fast, just stop it already. It's not historic. She went to an abortion center because this is the religion of the left. Now, you can get angry with me for such things, but I ask you, is there any subject greater that the left is going to run on to try and win in 2024? The answer is no. So what are we talking about here? But people have an issue with her, don't like her, go after her because they're racist? This is just the typical standard claptrap from the progressives. This is why people like Molly Jong Fast, who's with Vanity Fair, shouldn't be listened to. This is why she's relegated to being on MSNBC with Morning Joe. And normally I wouldn't even share it with you. But I have to, anytime someone tells me, well, see, this is the problem that people have with Kamala Harris. No. We're not going to listen to that race crap. Tony Katz Today, what's going on? I said race crap. Wait till I get to Juwan Howard. Oh, man. The crazy, crazy story of the question that he was asked. By the way, can we be perfectly clear about the bad time that Michigan basketball has had? I'll get to it in a second. Let's go back to Kamala Harris, who had this to say in her visit to Planned Parenthood. By the way, Planned Parenthood's business model is abortions. And they have been really hurt with their business model. Now, if they want to have this as a business model and it's legal where they are, they could do so. But they shouldn't get any federal money to do so. No federal money whatsoever. Tell Kamala Harris, tell Oprah, tell whatever leftist who wants to scream about my body, my choice, unless, of course, you don't want to take a vaccine, in which case, you go to hell, grandma killer. You get it forced with a jab, even if we have to hold you down, which we're going to love to do because secretly they're all very violent people, but it's not so secret. When it's them, it's their body, their choice. When it's you, it's their body, no choice. That's how they work. That's how they operate. Not because I say so, but because they said so. I don't want to give Planned Parenthood any money. They're in the abortion business. Count me out. This is Kamala Harris.
And please do understand that when we talk about a clinic such as this, it is absolutely about health care and reproductive health care. So everyone get ready for the language. Uterus. That part of the body needs a lot of medical care from time to time.
Abortion is not medical care. Abortion is the killing of something. They always want to put it into reproductive health care. No. But as for uterus.
So everyone get ready for the language. Uterus.
I think we can handle this.
Uterus. 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 Uterus.
Yeah, I think we can handle that. I think we're good. I think we're fine. That's not historic. But the fact that she uses that line and that's how she talks, Molly Jong Fast of MSNBC, this is why people aren't interested. It's because she is this giggling, cackling fool. And it's not me saying it. It's her own staff. All the people who have quit. She isn't serious about the job. She's not smart. That's the problem with Kamala Harris. Joe Biden could have picked anybody. He picked her. She's not smart. She's not with it. She's not good at this. But I said I'd talk about this Juwan Howard thing. This is really weird. There was a question asked to him. Juwan Howard, coach of Michigan, they went 8-24 this year. Here is the question that was asked of him.
Books recorder, coach, I'm right here. First of all, we're praying for you that your health will
Thank
improve.
You, brother. Appreciate that, man.
There's three black coaches in this conference, and throughout the season, each one of you has been put on a hot seat by the white media. I'm hoping that you survive this, but because we know black coaches sometimes don't.
Thank you.
But can you speak on just the fact that the three of you are doing the job that you've been hired to do, representing as coaches? There was black kids in the stands today that got to see you coach, and we'll see the other two black coaches doing this tournament. Can you just speak on that?
The white media goes, first of all, the white media? And they're going after coaches. This is the Big Ten. So it's Juwan Howard. There's Mike Wooden, who is IU. I don't know who the third is. I can't visualize it right now. Which is okay because I'm not the expert on the Big Ten. I'm working on it. I'm getting there. But the white media... Do you think the white media is responsible for going 8-24? This is a thing? Charles Hallman asked the question, who on his profile on X, I'm a staff writer at the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder in Minneapolis. I'm a longtime black journalist who works hard at what I do. Well, that's great. But what in the world white media nonsense is this? You are judged on how it is you do. It's binary. You either succeeded or you failed. That's it. And 8-24 is failure. It's failure. It is what it is. How dare anybody say otherwise? White media is after you. White media is trying to tear you down. Good God. If you want to know where the problems are, here it is. You don't like something. Somebody's held to account. Well, you can't do that because of the color of their skin. The bigotry is of this journalist who we should question is a journalist. That's the bigotry. We should hold Juwan Howard to a different standard because he's black? That's racist. I'm Tony Katz. It's interesting about the polling. And I say that in this, I had this conversation yesterday. If you're going to tell me about, you know, why is it that Trump isn't going to debate Biden? Wait, no, Trump wants to debate Biden, but Biden's not going to debate Trump for the election. None of that actually matters, because for that to matter, you would have to assume that Joe Biden's going to be the nominee. And I don't assume this. I don't assume this because, well, the data shows us as much. Joe Biden is not up to it. He doesn't have the numbers in terms of people who believe that he is cogent, competent, or capable. Doesn't matter how much he screams or yells about it. And the data that proved it again was the State of the Union conversation. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. What's going on, everybody? Find everything I do over at TonyKatz.com. All the media told us that Joe Biden was energetic and exciting, and oh, Joe Biden is back. And yet we saw that State of the Union and said, this guy is just yelling at us constantly and consistently. What the hell is going on here?
Loud noises!
This was terrible. This was absolutely terrible. There was nothing here. This was not a good State of the Union. This was...
I don't know what we're yelling about!
That's all it was. And we know this. They tried to lie to us. And the polling showed that not only did Joe Biden not get a bump, he did worse than Donald Trump in 2018, which was the lowest one in recent memory in terms of approval of the speech. And in some polling numbers, he went down. Joe Biden is not going to be the nominee. This brings us to this Real Clear Politics Electoral College map. You're seeing this shared everywhere. The map that they're looking at is if the election were held today. If the election were held today, Trump gets Arizona, Trump gets Nevada, Trump gets Wisconsin, Trump gets Michigan, Trump gets Ohio, Trump gets Pennsylvania, ball game. It's done, finished, complete. It's over. Trump, 312 electoral votes. Biden, 226. Remember, you need 270 to win. This is the data coming out today. You can go to realclearpolitics.com and take a look at it. I think they call it realclearpolling.com as well. This argument is an argument for Biden not being on the ticket. I should say this data is an argument for Biden not being on the ticket. But doesn't this data also say, well, Tony, you must be wrong. Clearly, Trump is going to be an easy lift for the general election. You've been saying that he's a hard lift. You think I'm buying this? Whoa, 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 whoa. Can everybody please be on the same page? It's History of the World Part 1. Can we please step on the same foot at the same time? I won't do the rest. I do not believe Trump is an easy lift. I believe the hatred for Trump in vast majorities, majority of places across the country is massive. Massive. I equally believe that people know Joe Biden is an old man with a poor memory who absolutely was engaged in shenanigans with his drug-addled son. I think the cake is baked. I think that when you get people to remove their politics of the day facade and get down to the reality, they know that Biden is incompetent. They know that Hunter is a criminal, and they know that they don't have as much money in their pocket as they did 4 years ago. And even if you want to argue that there may be differences in position one and position two, there's no difference in position three. They don't have as much money in their pocket as they did 4 years ago, and everything's more expensive. They're going to vote for Trump. That's just the reality. Or maybe said differently, they're not going to vote for Biden. Because if you gave them another option outside of Biden, watch how many people come back. Guys, it's not because I want it. It's because we are dealing with a political reality, and I am not interested in the people who want to fantasize and dream. That's crazy. Do we have any idea the level of fight that is ahead of us? Do you have any idea how hard it is going to be to win an election? This was the Daily Caller. I was thrilled to see this piece. They are miles ahead, it's called. Despite election integrity hype, GOP could be walking into a 2024 legal buzzsaw. This is by Reagan Reese, White House correspondent. The RNC has to deal with the fact that the Democrats are far better at get out the vote. They're far better at ballot harvesting. They're far better at ballot curing. I have been bringing this up for a year, and I eventually got to the point where I had to start blocking people. Every day, this was the message that they would leave on 833-GOT-TONY. Tony, the problem is the election's going to be stolen. None of this other stuff matters. I've asked this question now for a year. So what are you going to do about it? What's your plan to stop the election from being stolen? You believe it was stolen. You point to this, you point to that. Okay. What's your plan to stop it from being stolen? The Democrats are still playing by a set of rules that they wrote and they execute to a level of perfection. You're screaming about stolen elections. The election is coming. What is your plan? And what you get back when you ask that question is summed up in the following words. You get nothing. There is no answer back. You never get an answer back. So strange. But the article is discussing something very real. Election integrity matters, and it matters greatly. And the Democratic Party, without question, pushes policies and philosophies that go against the very idea of election integrity. If you believe that you don't need voter ID, you are saying you are okay with the opportunity for more fraud. In no other situation would anybody agree to this. Would you be okay with getting prescriptions without an ID? Would you be okay with banking without an ID? No, that's my bank account. With the $42 million, yeah, that's my bank account. That's my bank. My name is Steve Harvey. Tom, that's my name. That's right. Tom's on there. Right? That's my $42 million. Can I have it in? Can I have it in nickels? Like in a nickels? No, I brought some strong guys with me. They're gonna carry it. In no other world, in no other situation, would we ever allow this. In voting, an ID is racist? Oh, sit down and be quiet. Voter ID is not racist, and if someone believes so, they're ridiculous. Now, if I'm speaking to you directly, to the person who believes this, if you think voter ID is racist, you're a ridiculous person. You should be ashamed of yourself and whoever taught you that lie. You need Jesus in a way I cannot describe if you think voter ID is racist. That is the great example of leftist claptrap that is just thrown out there, and we're supposed to just think of that it makes sense. It doesn't make sense. You're a garbage person if you believe that. You hate yourself. You want to tell the world, look how little intellect I actually value if you think voter ID is racist. You sound silly. You're an embarrassment. Shame on you. Do better for your kids. In the meantime, we have places that don't require an ID. In the meantime, we have places that do mail-in ballots. Where is the plan to combat this? I've been asking about this for a while. People want to tell me about how Lara Trump, the daughter-in-law of Donald Trump, married to Eric Trump, now the co-chair of the RNC, oh, she wants to have voter registration drives at UFC events. I think that's a very, very good idea. How in the world are you going to combat the progressive machine on election day and the month of early voting that comes before it? Which, by the way, I oppose all early voting, for the record. What's your plan? So first, you have the realization that the data shows that Biden is going to be replaced on the ticket. The no bump at the State of the Union, them lying about what a good job he did at the State of the Union, how the numbers show that Trump would win right now. And by the way, inflation went back up. Everything is against Joe Biden at this moment. Also, the special counsel's report that proves that the guy doesn't remember where he's at and what's going on. To some level, Joe Biden is not okay, and everybody knows it. And to every level, you don't have as much money in your bank account. You don't have the ability to purchase that you did 4 years ago. Biden's getting replaced on the ticket. Whomever replaces him, and I really don't know who it is. I know I've said Michelle Obama before, and people get absolutely outraged with me.
OMG, are you kidding me right now?
And I'm not. I am not. That's another response that I get a lot. She has said she doesn't want it. She has said she is not interested in it. But sometimes you do what you have to do. I don't know who's going to replace Biden, but whomever it is, greatest Democrat who ever lived, Joe Biden who? Why are you talking about Joe Biden? Look at the future right here. In an hour, every Democrat will say, oh, this is the greatest person. This is who I really wanted to be president. What about Kamala Harris? Who? Who? What are you talking? Kamala Harris. Why are you bringing up Kamala Harris? No one even ever heard of Kamala Harris. Oh, my God. You mean the one who put single moms in jail for doing drugs? That Kamala Harris? Oh, we never liked her. Never, ever liked her. My goodness gracious. Well, isn't that racist? Oh, no, it's racist that you brought it up because all you see is color, you bigot. That's how they'll do it. That's how they'll play that. That's how it'll get played. And then that person is going to have nothing but momentum, nothing but solid press. It'll be Trump fascist 24/7. And we get back to my point that Trump is a difficult lift in November because you'll be dealing with the new guy enthusiasm. You'll get people who have were turned off by Biden to get turned back on, and you still haven't solved the problem about ballot harvesting, ballot curing, how to deal with mail-in ballots, because you're still out there saying, well, they cheat, and that's the whole problem, and you won't fight. Guys, I'm not angry. I just want to make sure we understand what it is that we're dealing with here. Is everybody on the same page about what it is that we are experiencing here and what we're about to experience? My issues with Trump are legit, and you and I may disagree about that, and that's totally fine. I deal with the reality as it is right now. I will say again, we could have had DeSantis. And I'll say it on election day, too. But Trump's the nominee. It's game over on that. So now I've got an option. Do what is in the best interest of my family and my nation, or not. I'm going to do the first one. I'm going to do the former. Just like I did in 2016. With Trump, I had a 50-50 shot of getting what I wanted because I knew he wasn't a conservative. I understood his New York days. With Trump, I could get had a 50-50 shot of getting what I wanted. With Hillary Clinton, I'd get zero. Of course I went with Trump. Worked out pretty well for Tony. Same rules apply. Rational thought engaged in an application. Trump's going to be a heavy lift. And I just hope everybody's on the same page for why that is. I'm Tony Katz, and this is Tony Katz Today. Fani Willis has a choice. She can stay on the case. But if she does, her lover, the prosecutor Nathan Wade, must go. Or Nathan Wade can stay on the case. But if that's the case, Fani Willis has to step down. Tony Katz. Tony Katz Today. Good to be with you. Children, it's a modern day Sophie's Choice. Marvin Hamlisch, people. Show some respect. I think it's a weird decision by the judge. I think it is a have your cake and eat it too kind of decision from the judge. Judge Scott McAfee said, as the reporting goes, insufficient legal evidence to support finding a conflict of interest. However, the appearance of propriety was enough to demand that Willis step down or remove Wade from the case. This is, of course, Georgia, where you have Fani Willis, the Fulton County DA, going after Trump for trying to fix an election, utilizing RICO racketeering legislation and laws to go after 18 people to try and be able to connect to Trump and put the squeeze on other people to get to Trump. I mean, that's what's happening here. Fascinating. Because one could have said he didn't have to do anything. And you take a look at judges today and you're like, so many of them are so full of emotional outrage that trumps the actual law. But this is a weird splitting of the baby. But for Fani Willis, it'll be the Sophie's Choice. And it'll be important for Nathan Wade to learn, I would assume, that, you weren't that good in bed. What? That isn't what's going to happen? She isn't going to kick him to the curb? Okay. Maybe. This is Tony Katz Today. Find everything at TonyKatz.com.